Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chulin daf Mem Gimel. We are holding at the very top of daf Mem Gimel Amar Aleph at Amar Ula. Last word on the top line of Mem Gimel Amar Aleph. Today's year is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas's mother, Golda Basimcha Aleha Shalom, the Nisham Shavan Aliyah. It's also sponsored by Josh Krah in memory of his mother, Madeline Krah, Malka Bas Yehuda Aleha Shalom, whose 10th yahrzeit is today, the Nisham Shavan Aliyah. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. What we're going to talk about today is first the Ula is going to identify 8 different categories of trefos. Yesterday we had in the mission the 18 different problems that are trefos, but we're going to break it down into 8 different categories. Then the Gemara is going to have 5 different teachings of Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, about trefos. It's going to start with one that we were talking about prior to that of Nekev in the Mara, but then it's going to tell us 4 other teachings regarding trefos by that same person. Then the Gemara is going to discuss if you have something that Nekev is only going to be a problem if it's mefulish, if it breaks through 2 layers. So what if there's a hole on both layers, but they don't align with one another, whether it be in the Veshet, whether it be in the Kurkavan. So do we assume that there was a hole that went all the way through, or that these are 2 different non-problematic holes because they're not aligned with one another? Then the Gemara is going to discuss how and under what circumstances to check the Veshet, meaning you don't check for all the trefos all the time, but to check for a Nekev in the Veshet, how do you do it? Just mechanically, where do you check? Do you check the inside, the outside? And under what circumstances is there enough of a Reyesa that you need to check the Veshet? Then Ula is going to tell us that a thorn in the Veshet is not a problem. And the Gemara is going to have 4 challenges to Ula, and we're also going to try to be Magdir. What does it mean, a thorn in the Veshet? That it's lodged in the Veshet, that it's found somewhere inside of the Veshet. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the Tarbatz HaVeshet, and whether it has the din of the Veshet itself. And then the Gemara is obviously going to have to define what is a Tarbatz HaVeshet that we have this suffix about, and it's going to tell the story relating to that, and that will bring us to the end of the daf. So let's begin at the very top of daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. Amar Ula Shemona Mini Trefos Namar L'Moshe B'Sinai. There were 8 types of trefos, 8 categories of trefos that Moshe Rabbeinu was told about at Har Sinai, and they are the following: Nekuva, there are those that are trefos because there is a nekev, because there is a puncture, a hole. Upsuka, a second category is that it is cut, that it is sliced, like the Psukas Agrogeres. Then there's Netula, that something is missing, like Nitala Kaved, that the liver is missing. V'chasura, sometimes it's a part of a particular Aver that's missing, like a piece of a lung that is missing. Kurua, sometimes there's a tear in an Aver, like Nikrarov HaKeres. Drusa, sometimes there is a claw that a wolf or a lion had clawed the animal. Nifula, sometimes the animal had fallen off of a roof. Ushvura, and the 8th and final one is that there are broken bones or something like that. So Lafuke Lukusa, and the reason Ula identified these 8 categories is to tell you that there isn't a 9th, that something that's damaged, a limb or a Nevera Pnimi that's damaged as a result of illness is not included. Lafuke Lukusa de Rachish Bar Papa. That excludes the Lukusa of Rachish Bar Papa, because Rachish Bar Papa would hold that is a trefa as well. We mentioned yesterday that Rachish Bar Papa only comes up at a Siyum, so someone texted me that they checked in all of Shas. It's here and in a Siyum. That's it. Rachish Bar Papa doesn't really come up anywhere else. I don't know. I didn't check myself, but that's what someone said. That's there's a passage in the Yamshel Shlomo where he goes through why it is that 10 sons of Rav Papa are all Zocha to be mentioned at a Siyum. And he said, no, Rav Papa somehow relates to Moshe Rabbeinu. He represents Moshe Rabbeinu. And the 10 sons of the Yamshel Shlomo quotes from a drasha that the Rama gave, that the 10 sons of Rav Papa all relate to the Aseres Hadibros, and Rachish Rav Papa is Keneged Lo Sachmod, because Rachish, as in Rechush, that you shouldn't desire so someone else's ruchush. Rav Eliashiv has a piece in his Shirim HaMaseches Brachos where he says that Rav Papa was zochet to 10 sons who were all great Talmid Chacham, and he said the reason Rav Papa was zochet to that, he points out the Gemara in Brachos and a couple of places in Brachos and maybe one or two other places in Shas where there's a machlokas between two Chachamim, and Rav Papa is the one that comes up with this one is right under this circumstance and that one is right under that circumstance, where he manages to incorporate the shita of both opposing views. And that shows the great kavod he had for Talmidei Chacham, that he valued everything that they said in order to be able to try to show how everything that they said is correct. And he said the key to having children that are Talmidei Chachamim, even more than being a Talmud Chacham yourself, is to value Talmidei Chacham, that to show that you value those who are great Talmidei Chachamim, because meaning it's not a nace, meaning if kids grow up in a house where that's what's valued and that's what's talked about with admiration, so they're going to want to be that. They're going to want to be that which is admired and that which is valued. And Rav Papa was someone, in addition to being a Talmud Chacham, but Rav Papa was someone who greatly valued Talmud Chacham. So Rachish and all of his nine brothers grew up to be great Talmud Chacham. But anyway, so Lakusa of Rachish Bar Papa is off the list. So Amr Chia Bar Rava, although it shouldn't be Chia Bar Rava that goes, it even changes to Chia Bar Rav, Shmona Trefos Yish Bin Nekuva. There are eight types of trefos within the first category. The first category was Nekuva. Nekuva means that there's a hole in it. Vim Tomar, Teisha, maybe you're going to say, well, wait, if you go back to the Mishnah and you count how many there were that are Nekuva, you'll find that there are nine, not eight. So Mara, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Katanila. The Nikva Hamara was taught by Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and he happens to be a Das Yach, you know, we know Paskin like that, and therefore there are really only eight that we Paskin Detanya, because the Brisa tells us, Nikva Keva, Nikvu Adakim Trefa, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Omraf Nikva Amara, that it's Dafka Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda says that Nikva Amara makes it a Trefa, so we see that it's only Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, but the Tanakama would hold that it's not a Trefa, and therefore, Chia Bar Rava, or Bar Rav, holds that it doesn't get counted in the list of all of the Nikuvim. He also, Rashi points out, doesn't count the Nekuvas Hatchol of the spleen, because he holds that not like Rav Avira, who holds that that's a trefa. So it's only the eight that are listed in the Mishnah aside from the Mara. So says the Gemara, now Hilchos Chaver Kazayis Mara V'Korkavan Simen. Now we're going to have five different statements of Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that discuss dinim related to trefos. So the first one is Amar Rabbi Yosef Bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. That first of all, we pass on Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda that Nikva Hamara is a trefa. That even though Ula told us there are only eight types of Nekuvos, and he didn't say nine because the El Nikva Hamara is not a trefa, but nevertheless, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yochanan says that we do paskin like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, and Lechora, even though it's a Das Yachid, but it's a Stam Mishnah, so a Stam Mishnah, we paskin like a Stam Mishnah, and therefore we paskin that way. And in fact, the Rambam, the sixth paragraph of Hilchos Shechita, and the Shulchan Aruch and Yerideas and Membeis do paskin this way. They paskin like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, the Nikva Hamara is one of the trefos. Statement number two, Vam Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Rabbi Yosef, Vam Rabbi Yochanan, Maya Hadru Lechavrei, the Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. What taina did the Chacham say back to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, who said that Nikva Amara is a trefa? So Rabbi Yitzchak explains that Eov was suffering greatly because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Satan permission to attack Eov in every which way, monetarily and physically and all sorts ways. He just wasn't allowed to kill him. So Eov was commenting on his condition, and he said, "Yishpoch la'aretz mirei rasi," that my mara is spilling out onto the ground. Meaning, he's describing a physical condition that he has. So vadayin Eov kayim. So obviously, it was nikva mara. Otherwise, how could it be spilling out onto the ground? And apparently, he was still alive. So you see that chisaron in the mara doesn't cause a person to die. So l'chorif, it doesn't cause a person to die, it also doesn't cause trefus in a behema. The Ramban and Daf Mem Beis writes within Shitas Rashi that we're not mechalik between a behema and an adam. That whatever will be a trefa by a behema will be a trefa by an adam as well. Rabbeinu Tam, quoted in Tosas Mem Beis and Beis, is mechalik between an adam who has mazel versus a behema who does not have mazel. And therefore, there could be things that will make a behema a trefa, but will not make an adam a trefa. But that's only as far as chaser. Golas. But as far as other trefos, they're one and the same because the Gemara uses it as a raya. The Gemara brings rayas about the chulios of the Shidra from an Adam to a Behema. And over here also the Gemara is saying Eov was a person. So we're trying to identify what's a trefa. We're saying, oh, Eov was obviously not a trefa because he had Nikva Amara and he was still alive. So Amalem, Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda responded back to them, Ein Maskirim Maisa Nisim. The whole Eov's continued existence was a miracle. So you cannot bring a proof from a miracle. Dilote Ma'achi, because if you're not going to say that, you're going to think that Eov's existence was not a miracle. Yeah, how do you explain what Eov said about himself when he said, Yefalach Kel Yosef Velo Yachmal, that he had a horrible kidney disease? And what, a person's going to Mikochai? Can a person live with that? If a person's kidneys aren't functioning, they're not going to live. So obviously he would have been a treif under normal circumstances. Ella, Nisa Shiny, but a miracle is different. So it was Maisa Nisim. Dichsiv, because the Pasuk says that Kodesh Baruch Hu told the Satan, Ach es nafshu shamar, that you have a reshus to do whatever you want to him, just do not kill him. You need to be shamar es nafshu, you need to make sure that Eov remains alive. The Gemara Masechet Bava Basra and the Eov Agadatas at the end of the first parak of Bava Basra says that was the most difficult trick for the Satan to pull off. It was like an impossible task that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Satan. That Gadol HaYitzaru Shel Satan, that Satan had great tzar in being able to try to thread this needle, to be able to strike Eov with things that shouldn't kill a normal person, and to make sure that it doesn't kill him. So the Gemara says it's like someone who tells his Eved, break this wine barrel, just make sure none of the wine spills. How do you break the barrel and none of the wine spills? How do you do all this to Eov and keep him alive? So Hanami, Nisa Shaini, it was all a nace, and over here also, this nace of the Mara spilling on the ground, that Eov did not become a trefa on account of it. Okay, so the third teaching of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi Yochanan relates to that which we said in the Mishnah, that if the liver is removed, and lo nishtayri menu klum, then it becomes a trefa, that nothing of it is left. So it sounds like even if a mashu of the liver is left, it is not a trefa, that it would be kosher. So the Gemara is going to ask a stira from a different Mishnah. We have a Mishnah on Daf Nun Dalet that tells us that nital akaved, if there's a kezayis that's left, it's kosher, which sounds like anything less than a kezayis, but something, is a trefa, that it doesn't have to be entirely removed in order for it to be a trefa. And the Gemara is going to answer that it's a machlokes tanoim, whether a mashu who left is enough to make it kosher, or you need a kezayis of the liver left to make it kosher. So in that context, va'amar Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yosef Amar Rabbi Yochanan halacha k'divrei Omer kezayis, that since it's a machlokas between the mishnayis whether you need just a mashuhu of the liver or a kezayis of the liver in order for it not to be a trefa, we have to paskin in the machlokas. So Rabbi Yochanan paskins that a kezayis is what would take away the status of a trefa, but if it's less than a kezayis, it is a trefa. Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan hachi, does Rabbi Yochanan really paskin that you need a kezayis to remain in order for it to be kosher? V'ha'amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana Amar Rabbi Yochanan halacha k'stam mishnah. But didn't Rabbi Yochanan tell us we pass like a stam mishnah? So utanan, and our mishnah says nitla kavid v'lnishtayre mena klum, that only if it's only a trefa if nothing is left, not if less than a kezayis, if nothing is left. Hanishtayr kshera, that implies if anything is left, even less than a kezayis, it's going to be kosher. Avagav d'avi kezayis. So you see that this mishnah. So since this mishnah is stam and the halach is like a stam mishnah, so anytime there's a kol shul left, it should be kosher. So l'chora we have a problem over here because we have two stam mishnayis and we're supposed to pass like a stam mishnah, but there's a stira between these two stam mishnayos. So why would Rav Yisrael Rav Yehuda say one stam mishnah over the other? Meaning, I understand you can say halacha k'divrei Omer kezayis because it's a stam mishnah, but we have another stam mishnah. So there's a rule to pass like a stam mishnah, but there must be a reason to pass like one stam over the other stam. Say it's the Gemara Amorayin in Valib Rabbi Yochanan. This klal that halacha is k'stam mishnah is in fact machlokas Amorayin whether Rabbi Yochanan said it or not. The Rav Yisrael Rav Yehuda Yosef said in Nim Rabbi Yochanan that halacha is because Zayis holds Rabbi Yochanan never said the klal of halacha k'stam mishnah, and by each din that he holds the halacha follows that way. It has to be that he said b'mufurish that the halacha is like that mishnah, meaning he didn't give a klal to it. He just any time we find that Rabbi Yochanan passing is like a k'stam mishnah, he dealt with it one by one. Yeah, we pass like this mishnah, we pass like that mishnah, but it wasn't an overall klal that we have to pass like a k'stam mishnah. And the Amora that says that Rabbi Yochanan did say the klal holds that Rabbi Yochanan didn't say halacha b'kazayis, because how could you choose? How could you choose one stam mishnah over the other? Meaning, if Rabbi Yochanan just said a klal that we always pass like a stam mishnah, that does not yield a psak in our case, because in our case we have two stam mishnayis, so you wouldn't have resulted in a clear cut psak. So that's the machlokas amoraim, what Rabbi Yochanan said. Now a fourth statement of Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yochanan. De Omar, it changes it to Ve Omar, which makes a lot of sense because it's a fourth statement. Ve Omar Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yochanan, Mara Shenikva. If the Mara has a hole in it, in the place where it's connected to the gallbladder, in the place where it's connected to the liver, Ve Kavit Sotemta, and the liver closes off that hole, it blocks off that hole, Ksheira, it's going to be kosher. And even though Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda holds that Nikva Hamara is a treifa, in this case he's going to say it's kosher because that nekev is closed off by the liver. And a fifth statement, Vam Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, Vam Rabbi Yochanan, Nikev HaKurkvan Vikis Shalo, if there's a hole in the Kurkvan, which is the stomach of a bird, and the kiss, which is like the membrane that's on the inside, I guess membrane would be on the outside. There's some type of klipa that's on the inside of the keva. So kayim, so kiss shalom kayim. If that inside layer is still shalem, then it's kosher. So even though the korkavan has a hole, but it doesn't go all the way through because the inner layer is still intact, then it's going to be kosher. The Rishonim point out the Rashba. The Ran tells us a Rash that din is only if it was nikav ali de choli. But if it's nikav ali de kotz, if there's a needle or a splinter or something like that, then we say it's a treifa, even if only one of the layers of skin was nikav, because we're choshesh that maybe it came from the direction of the veshet and it entered into the korkavan and it was a nekav mefulash and it went out and then it healed itself up. The nekav on the other side healed itself up, but if it's something that happened as a result of a choli, so then we don't have to assume it came from somewhere. But if it's a splinter or something like that, or a thorn, it had to have come from somewhere, and the most likely place for it to come is from the veshet, because animals eat these things, and then if it you found it in the korkavan, so obviously it went through the veshet, and you were just unable to find the hole, or the hole has healed itself. So yibaylu nikev akis for korkavan kayem mai. What if it was the reverse? What if the nekev was in the kiss, but the korkavan was still intact? What would the din be then? So Tashma says, well, bring a riot. Dam Rav Nachman, nikev zeh b'lo zeh, if only the korkavan or only the kiss had a nekev, but not both, kosher, then it's going to be kosher. So once we make this chilik between nekev in both the korkavan and the kiss versus a nekev in the korkavan or the kiss, the Gemara brings a similar discussion when it comes to a veshet. Amar Rava, we changed it to Rabba, based on the Rif and the Rush, we changed it to Rabba. Shnei oros yesh lo leveshet. The veshet actually has two layers of skin. Chiton adom upnimi lavan. The outer layer of the veshet is red and the inner layer is white. It's very obvious when you look at an actual veshet. There's Aldaf put out very nice videos. I mean, not nice, they're kind of gruesome, but they're very helpful videos of showing all the 18 treifas. It's worth taking a look. The whole thing is like, I don't know, 5-6 minutes, and they go through all 18 treifas with a Chassidish guy who knows treifas, who's showing you in the animal itself. So you see very, very clearly that the outside of the veshet is red, and the inside is white. So nikev zeh b'lo zeh, kosher. If one of the layers of skin has a nekev, it's going to be kosher. It's only problematic if both of the layers are punctured. Why does he have to say that the outside is red and the inside is white? The real halacha over here is that if it's a nekev mefulash, it's a problem. If the hole goes through both layers, what is the color? L'chora doesn't make a difference. If you find that the color is not red on the outside, is that going to be a halacha? Meaning where that, you know, so why does he have to mention that? So it says, well, no, it is a halacha, that the color matters. The chalif trefa, that if somehow you shecht an animal and you find that the vesher on the outside is white and the inside is red, then that's a trefa, that the color can actually be a trefa. So, and the reason that it's a trefa is because we assume that it's nekuva, Rashi writes, because if the two layers have switched colors, we assume that they're each considered to be nutul from the place where they belong, that the red layer has appeared on the inside and the white layer has appeared on the outside, so they're in the wrong spot. And ein nekuva gedola mizu, that's like a huge hole in it, because there are two giant holes, one where the white is supposed to be and it's not, and one where the red is supposed to be and it's not. So that is like a giant nekuva. The Rashba in Torah Sabayis is medayik, that it sounds like it's only if, what does the Gemara say? The ichalif, that it's trefa, that if it's, they're switched one for the other, that the pnimi is lavan and has which is supposed to be lavan has become red, and the chitzon, which is supposed to be red, has become white. And that's what in Hilchos Shechita and Sefer HaPardis of Rashi says the same, that if the veshet, both the pnimi and the chitzon, changed colors, that's where it's a problem. So the Rash and the Ran are medayik, that if only one of them changed colors, it's kosher. Meaning if both layers are red or both layers are white, it's kosher, because that's not chalif. Chalif is the problem where they switch to one another. However, the Or Zarua and the Ran say in the name of Rashi that chalif means that the Or HaPnimi was nischalif from lavan to adom, from white to red, and then it's a trefa because of chashash drusa. But if the red turned to white, then it would in fact be kosher. That really chalif just means that the white one turned the wrong color. But if the red layer turned the wrong color, it would in fact not be a problem. So we just said that you need, by the veshet and by the korkovan, you need a hole that goes all the way through in order for it to be a trefa. So what if there's a hole in both layers, but the holes don't align with one another? So it doesn't look like a hole that went all the way through, but maybe at some point with the movement of the animal, at some point they aligned with one another, and then that's when the hole was made, and then it became misaligned afterwards. So what's the halacha? Do we assume that it was aligned at the time that the hole was made, and then it became misaligned afterwards? Or do we assume, no, these are two different holes, neither of which is going to make the animal a trefa? Some are zutra mishmei drav papa, but veshet kosher, but on the veshet of an animal, if they're misaligned, it's kosher, because they're not, it's not a hole that's through and through, but by the korkovan of an oaf, pasul, it's going to be pasul, and the Gilyon changes it to trefa, because what does pasul have to do with anything? L'chara trefa is what we mean to say. So maskef Ravashi, Ravashi asks in that, adraba, misvara, I would have said the exact opposite. Veshata achlebe, upayabe, ravach gamdele, upashtale, zimnin mahanzin bade adadi. When it comes to the veshet, the animal eats with it, and the kun is right next to it, and the animal breathes through it, so there's constantly movement in those areas, so it's always moving, it's always going, and it makes sense that at some point they'll become misaligned, and where a hole can go through both layers, it will then appear misaligned afterwards, because things will slip from one place to the other. But korkovan, the korkovan doesn't move, it just sits there. So the whole inner layer should be the same as the outer layer. So how does it make sense that it would be punctured through and through, and then you don't, then it appears to be misaligned with one another? So the opposite is what seems to be correct. So because of this taina, the Gemara says, you're right, we got it wrong. Amalei Rav Acha Bered Rav Yosef, the Rav Ashi, Hachi Amrinan Mishmei Demar Zutra, Da Amra Mishmei Derav Papa, Kavaseich. That you're right, you got it right. That in a Veshet, if the misaligned holes, it's going to be possible, because we assume that at the time of the Nekiva, it in fact was aligned. Whereas by the Korkavan, if they're misaligned holes, it's going to be Kasher, because we assume these two holes have nothing to do with each other, and neither of them is strong enough to make it into a trefa. Okay, va'amar Rabba, krum sha'ala machmas maka baveshet enu krum. If there's some scabbing from a wound from a nekev in the veshet, that is not that doesn't count as closing off of that wound in order to make it kosher, even if it's a thick scabbing, because we assume that it's enu miskayim, that it's not something that can last. It's only very temporary in nature. So scabbing on the veshet does that. We view that as if the hole is still there and the animal is a trefa. V'amar Rabba, veshet ein lo bedigah mibachutz. If you ever need to check a veshet to see if there are any holes, you cannot check it from the outside, from the red outer layer, ela bifnim. You have to check from the white inner layer, because naturally when there's a hole, it's going to scab and bleed a little bit. So on the red outer layer, it's very hard to see, because the whole thing is red. So you're going to see a little bit of red scabbing and red bleeding. But on the inside, if there was a hole on the inside and it bled a little bit, and the inside is white, it will be much easier to see the hole. L'maynaf kamina, what halacha emerges from this in terms of how you check a veshet? Meaning, generally, you don't really have to check a veshet. It's a mitzvah. I think this is what the Gemara means to ask. It's a mitzvah that there will be a problem in the veshet. It's only if there's a reyesa that you have to check it. Meaning, generally speaking, even though there are 18 trefas, we don't check for all 18 trefas every time you shecht an animal. They're not ripping open the head and checking the krum shel moach on every single animal that they shecht. It's only those trefas that are fairly common that they would check for. How common? So Mishkas Yaakov defines mita matzoi as around 10% as mita matzoi. So we check the lungs of the animals, but you don't check everything unless there's a reisa. So they take a basic look inside, and someone who knows something about the anatomy of an animal will know if something looks discolored, if something looks off. So then they'll further examine that which looks off. So when are you ever checking the veshet? So the suffix drusa. If you had a case of a behemoth that was a suffix drusa, that you find a chaya that in that area where all these animals are, and some of these animals are screaming in pain, so you have to assume that maybe that chaya, maybe that ze'ev, maybe that ari had attacked it, had clawed it, and turned it into a trefa. So you need to check the veshet of each behemoth after the shkita to see whether it's kosher or not. So that's what the nafkamina lahalacha from that which Rabba said, that the or hapnimi, which is lavan, is much more, it's much more easy to find a red spot on it, for that comes as a result of the drusas hazeev or the drusas ha'ari. But the or achitzoni, which is red, you're not going to be able to find it anyway, so that's not how you check it. So he's suffic drusa. There was a case of a suffic drusa tasali kamed Rabba that was brought to Rabba for a shaila. So Rabba checked the veshet on the outside. He was examining the outside of the veshet. So Abaye said, to Rabba, you're the one that taught us that the bedikas of veshet has to be from the inside layer, the white layer, not the outside layer, which is red. So Abche Rabba flipped it around. It's a very soft skin, the veshet, so you could flip it around fairly easily. Ubatke, and he checked from the inside. And he found two spots of blood, and he was matruf the behema based on what he found on the inside. What was Rabba doing? I mean, didn't he know that he himself had taught that you can't check it from the outside? What was he doing? He was just trying to see if Abaye was sharp. So he made an obvious mistake in front of Abaye on purpose to see if Abaye would correct him. And that you find a number of places that Rabba did that to Abaye. It appears in Masech Brachas, Masechus Megillah, Masechus Nida, that Rabba did things like this to test Abaye, to keep him on his toes, and to make sure that he was chapping when something was off. So the Rambam learns in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Dalet, Halacha Vav, that that's a worthy thing for a Rebbe to do. That a Rebbe should try to make mistakes in front of the Talmidim to see if they'll correct him. That's when you're just lecturing the whole time, so it's very hard for people when you make a mistake, you know. So it's then everyone jumps on it. It keeps people active in the shir. So no, the art scroll says this, you know. So then you know that you made a mistake. So Abaye, even without the art scroll, is able to jump on the mistakes. So Amar Ula Yoshev lo kotz baveshet. If you have a thorn in the veshet, because the animal eats kotzim, it eats thorns sometimes. So you have a thorn stuck in the veshet. So Ein choshen shemi hivri. We're not choshesh that initially it was a nekev mefulash, and then later one of the layers of skin was healed. Because if that would have happened, the scabbing doesn't help, and the animal's a trefa. But since we don't see that it's a nekev on both layers of skin, we're not choshesh for such a nekev, and the behemoth is in fact kosher. So if we just find a coat in the veshet and it doesn't seem to be a puncture that goes through and through, that goes through both layers, then it's fine. You don't have to be choshesh that there was a hole that went through both layers and one side healed. Nah, it's fine. So daras chatichos besakin tameo simen. These are the simen of the four challenges we're going to have to that which Ula said. So Ula, according to Ula, where there's a suffix, if there was a nekev in the veshet, he's willing to be mekel. Well, maishna misa drusa. Why is that any different than the suffix drusa, where we're not willing to be makel that there was a lion in this pen where all these animals are, and we're choshesh that maybe the lion clawed these animals, and we therefore need to do bedika, right? We ask, what's the nafkamina in bedika sefeshet? We said nafkamina is that a lion was nearby, and all these sheep are freaking out because there was a lion in the neighborhood. So now you have to, every time you shecht one of these sheep, you have to check. So how come you have to check over there and you don't have to check according to Ula when you find the nekev in the veshet? So the Gemara says the suffix of coats in the veshet is similar to the suffix of a behemoth that's drusa, but savrula in choshen suffix drusa. Ula holds you not to be choshen suffix drusa either, and therefore he was makel in the case of coats beveshet as well. So the Tosus writes, we don't paskin like Ula, we are choshesh for a suffix drusa. And that's what the Rush and the Riff as well say, that we don't paskin like Ula. However, the Ravon paskins like Ula, and Tosfos says that even though any suffix iser, we follow the Chazaka, and once it's shechted, we should be matirit, because it has a cheskas hetter, because rov behemos are not a trefa, unless you can identify something as being a trefa. But since drusa is something that's fairly common, therefore we're choshesh for it, and we aser it misafik. So then the second challenge to Ula, umayishna mishtei chatichos, achas shel chil v'achas shel shuman. How come you're going to be making, in the case of the coats in the veshet, why is that any different than when you have two pieces of meat, one of them is chaylev, which is asr, and the other one is permitted fat, is shuman, which is permitted, and you don't know what's what, so you're not allowed to eat them. And if you ate one of them, you're chayv to bring an asham talui, because it's a suffik iser kares that you violated. So apparently, when there's a suffik iser, it's asr to eat it. So why is Ula matir this behema mi suffik? It should be asr. So it says, hasam ischazik isura. No, over there it's a case of ischazik isura. When you have two chatichos, so you know that there's iser present. You know that there's iser here. You just can't identify which one. So that's why each one is going to be asr misafik. But over here, where there's a thorn, there's never ischazik that the behema was asr, because the very idea that there's a thorn in the veshet doesn't mean anything. A thorn doesn't make it a trefa. It's only if the thorn punctures through both layers of the veshet that it makes it a trefa. So it's a suffik whether that nekev happened or not, and therefore we're not going to be machmir in such a case. Tulsa says maybe you can ask about even by chaticha achas, where you're mesupak, whether it's shuman or chelev, where there was no cheskas iser, it's chaticha achas, and there's only one piece of meat, and there was no chazoka that there's a trefa piece of meat here. I just don't know whether this piece of meat is chelev or shuman. It's also asr misafik. Why is that any different than the behemoth with the coats in the veshet? So Tulsa says you could say that just like the chaticha was not a cheskas iser, it also didn't have a cheskas heter in that case, but the behemoth has a cheskas heter. So it's not so much about the presence of a cheskas iser, it's about the absence of a cheskas heter. Meaning either one would be enough to say that you have a problem. If you either don't have a cheskas heter or do have a cheskas iser, then you have a problem. So that's why chatichas mishtei chatichos, you have yes a cheskas iser. One chaticha where I just don't know what it is, I don't have a cheskas heter, but by a coats in the veshet, I have a cheskas heter and I don't have a cheskas iser. And that's why you're allowed to eat it. peguma. Why is this any different? The third challenge to Ula, why is the kotz in the veshet any different than shechting with a knife? And then later discovering a pegima in the knife, where we're going to say that all the shechitas were invalid, all these behemoths are now nevelos. So over there also, it's asr misafek. And even though there was no cheskas iser, so says the Gemara, because asr misel de reyos abzakin, even though there's no cheskas iser initially, but now you have a good reason to believe that all these shechitas were no good, because you see that your knife that you use for all these shechitas is a bad knife. But kotz in a veshet, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't mean anything unless it punctures through both layers of skin of the veshet, and you have no evidence that that happened. So there's no reason to assume the worst. Meaning the existence of a kotz doesn't mean anything to us. And the fourth challenge, why is it any different than a safek tumah rishos yachid, where we assume safek tameh? So kotz in the veshet should at least be a safek, and therefore we should assume that a safek is problematic. Says, well, that's a funny question to ask. You're asking about safek tumah rishos yachid ula tameh. By that same logic, nidami li safek tumah rishos rabim. Why don't you compare it to a safek tumah rishos rabim? And what's the halacha by a safek tumah rishos rabim? The safek tar, where we assume it's tar. So ula would say, so that perfectly aligns with me then, that said the dinim of safek tumah. But elamai, the dinim of safek tumah don't align with one another. Ella hasam el sukamir la misota. The whole din of safek tumah is a chiddush that you cannot derive. It's only by sota that we say that there's such a din of safek tumah that we derive from sota, that there's such a din within the world of tumah and tara, because the Torah refers to sota as tumah. So we derive such a din of safek tumah rishos hayachid is tami, safek tumah rishos rabim is tar. But you can't learn from there to iser v'heter to just start applying the dinim of sveikos. Yosef Umi Rabban Kamed Rav Kana. One of the Rabban was sitting in front of Rav Kana, the Yosef Kamar, and he was saying the following: Nimtzeis Itmar, that if the coats was found in the veshet, that's where Ula said his din, that you don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to be choshesh that coats, that thorn had punctured both layers of the veshet. If you just find it in the veshet, aval yashav. But if it is lodged in the skin of the veshet, then cheshinan. Then we have to be choshesh, and maybe it went through both layers. So Amar Rav Kana, lo tatzisule. Rav Kana said, don't listen to what this guy is saying. Yashav itmar. No, Ula said his din when it was lodged in the skin of the veshet, but it wasn't. It didn't lodge through and through, where it was punctured through and through both layers. Aval nimtzeis lo tzrichle leula. If it's just that you found a thorn in the veshet, I don't need Ula to tell me that's okay. Dekulu chay vibraisa kotzeach. All wild animals eat thorns. So obviously you're going to find a thorn in the food pipe every now and then. That's not a reyes at all. I don't need Ula to tell me that. That's not a chiddush. So itmar, turbats haveshet, if the turbats of the veshet, which is a certain part of the veshet, has a hole in it. Rav mashu, Rav says the nekev of a mashu is a trefa. Ushmul am a berubo. Shmuel says that it has to be mostly punctured. Rav mashu, makam shchitu. Rav says a mashu because it's a makam shchita, meaning that's still halachically part of the veshet, and therefore a mashu will make it a trefa. Shmuel amar berubo lav makom shchitu. Shmuel says no, it's only berubo because it's not really halachically the veshet. The torbetz haveshet is not halachically the veshet. Hey, new torbetz haveshet. What is the torbetz haveshet? What are we even talking about? Which part of the veshet is it? Where we have this machlokas, is it or isn't it part of the veshet? So three opinions. Amar mari bar mar ukva amar Shmuel kol shechotcha umarchiv. Any part of the veshet where when you cut it, it widens, it the broadens, it separates apart from one another, that's the torbetz haveshet. When you cut it and it just stays in place, that's the veshet itself. Amul Rav Papi, Marlo Amar Hachi, that my Rebbeim didn't say this, Manu, who's my Rebbe, Rav Bibi Barabaye, Ella, he said differently, Kol shechotcha v'omid b'mekomo, zeh torbetz haveshet. That when you cut it and it stays as is, that's the torbetz haveshet. Eleizu veshet atzmo. What's the actual veshet? Kol shechotcha v'kavitz. Wherever when you cut it, what's the word I'm looking for? It what? It contracts, thank you. So the opening becomes narrower. It doesn't become, you see, Rabbi's trick. The opening becomes becomes narrower. It doesn't stay wide. So and then Yonah Amar Rabbi Zeira Mavlata, that the makom of the Beis Habliya, the part that's closest to the Pia Veshet, that's the Torvat Veshet. V'kama, how close? Amar Vav Pachos Misar Tovad Michitza, that less than the length of a seira, of a saora, but more than the length of a chita. So a very tiny, very 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 close to the end. Hayitur Dava Libnei Rav Ukva to ask beshchita b'turbetz haveshet. There was an ox where they started the shchita on the turbetz haveshet v'gamar b'veshet, and they finished the shchita in the veshet itself. So is that one act of shchita? Does the turbetz haveshet count as the veshet? Amar Rav Ramina alei chumri d'Rav chumri d'Shmuel v'tarifnei. We applied the chumras of both Rav and Shmuel, and therefore declared it treifa. Chumri d'Rav d'Amar Rav Mashu. Rav said a Mashu in the turbetz haveshet. We'll treif it up. I've Amar Rav makom shchita. Yeah, but according to Rav, it's makom shchita, so it should be perfectly fine because you shechted through it, and that's the place where you're allowed to shecht. Oh, but Kishmuel, the Amar Lav makom shchita. No, we're machmir like Shmuel that it's not the makom shchita. Yeah, but he Kishmuel Amar Berubo. Shmuel holds that it's only a problem if it's berov, not if it's b'mashu, because it's not the makom shchita. Yeah, but Karav the Amar Mashu. But on that level, we're going like Rav, who says that it was a mashu. Golga Milsa Tayi the Kamed Rabbi Abba Amar Lutur Ben Rav Ben Shmuel Shari, and he said, I understand what you're doing over here. Rav would say this is a kosher animal. Shmuel would say it's a kosher animal. So Zilu Amar Le the Braid Rav Yosef Bar Chama Delishlam Demetur in the Mare. Tell the Posei Kupaskin on the Shaila that it's a trefa, that he owes the guy money. He threw out a whole good animal because he paskined incorrectly that it's a trefa. Nobody would hold that such an animal is a trefa. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Mar Braid Ravina. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.